Hello, everybody, and welcome to Kentucky Ag Matters, a podcast designed to inform and educate both producers and consumers about all matters affecting agriculture. On this week's show, David, Vicki, and special guest host Whitney Carman will sit down with Warren Beeler, former director of the Governor's Office of Ag Policy, and as always, we will wrap things up with this week's timely tip. Thanks so much for joining us, and we hope you enjoy the show. Hey, Vicki.
Hey, David. How are you this morning?
I'm doing pretty good.
Pretty good. We got pretty sunshine out there, and on my drive to Grayson County, thank you, Grayson County, for hosting us today. But on my drive down, I saw some tractors in the field, and like I think I said last week, I think spring has sprung. And so,
Guarantee it.
Yeah, so things are changing.
Yeah, and we've got a special guest host. Jay is out today, and beans, we are here in, you know, in Grayson County. I will have to give some credit to Whitney because she is the reason that we're in the podcast business.
That's exactly
Or my previous life.
Well, your previous life. But anyway, she is one of the reasons that we are in the podcast she was doing a class on it at one of our A&R updates. And we sat in there and listened to her and felt like this is something we can do. So we're glad to have her. She's a, she's old school. Young person, but she's old school. But you know, we're glad to have you, Whitney. Thanks.
Thanks for being here, and anytime you are always welcome to Grayson County.
Well, that's a good deal. And we also have Mr. Kentucky Agriculture.
That's exactly right.
Mr. Warren Beeler is with us, and of course, Warren. I've known Warren for a long, long time, and Whitney has too, and she was a little bitty thing when I remember Whitney, the first time I remember Whitney showing livestock. So Warren is also the former director of the Governor's Office of Ag Policy. So, Warren, we're glad for you to be here.
Well, glad to have you in Grayson County. I used to got to go somewhere to, to do these, and Whitney's an old pro with this thing. She's on the radio here with Mark Buckles and stuff here in a deal that everybody listens to.
That's right.
Yeah, and we're not in Caneyville though. We're not in, we haven't traveled to Caneyville yet.
You know, this is just a suburb of Caneyville.
That's right. Yeah. We like to say we have equipment and we will travel. We do travel. So
Absolutely.
We do try to make it, to your point, we do try to make it as easy on our guests as we can. And so we don't mind at all to go and meet our guests, but it also gives us the opportunity to see some counties and talk to some folks that we might not have otherwise. And so it makes it fun for us too. And we, as always, we appreciate the time that you carve out for us because we know everybody's busy. In today's world, everybody's busy. Yeah. So
Warren, we want to talk a little bit about Kentucky agriculture. We're going to talk about several things today. We're going to hit on lots of stuff because you're an expert on a lot of stuff. So we want to talk a little bit about agriculture in Kentucky and maybe some of the things that you saw as working with the Governor's Office of Ag Policy, what some of the changes you saw and some of the innovative things that you got to see being in that position.
You know, I think most of all, I mean, we were so blessed to have the right people in the right spot to put half that tobacco settlement money in agriculture and half of it in health care. We've now invested $700 million in agriculture, and every bit of it has been at least matched, or if not a lot more. So I you know, it's intriguing to sit there in that office and get to see agriculture from so many different views. Who would have thought, you know, years and years, 30 years ago, when we had nearly $1 billion worth of tobacco and it was going to go down to $300 million. At the same time, poultry industry came in and now they're over $1 billion. And we've gone from $3.5 billion at farm gate to almost $7 billion this year with the prices being a little higher. So it's intriguing. The growth of poultry has been neat. I think probably the legacy of the tobacco settlement money at the governor's office is ag finance. It's the one that $100 million, it's like a little bank. And then do 2% money. And basically, we don't talk to the farmer. We talk to the lender and just basically make it easier for them to get that loan. And that's money that the state legislature can't come and get. It's money helping people and making money. And you don't ever hear that in Frankfort. But I could tell you story after story about successes. The one thing I learned most of all, David, is it's never about the project. People make things go and people make things not go. And the biggest need in agriculture is people. We need people. And that's not just that 1% or 2% farm, but the other 15% that work in ag. And, you know, I just think about all the things we haven't figured out. The thing that's most interesting about agriculture is what we don't know yet. Had a guy in North America, Neil Smith, who's the secretary of the Jersey Association. He said, Warren, we can pull blood on a baby bull calf, look at the DNA, and have him 77% proven day one. I said, gosh, we need people to figure out that other 23%. They sold basically a bull calf, month old, $67,000. It's all thing. We had a guy walk in. I'm going to take all your time.
Sorry. No, you but just no, roll right on.
Hey, you're the guest. But yeah. You're the guest.
Right on we had this guy come in one day. And he had a PhD from MIT. I wasn't even sure I was smart enough to talk to him. And he brought in this product called Artemisia. And Artemisia is the only medication for malaria in the world. They were growing it in Vietnam. It came to Kentucky because you grow it like tobacco. But it's a 200-day crop, but the cold doesn't bother it. I said, well, we don't have malaria. They use Artemisia in other countries like we use chemo here to treat cancer. UK is on their fourth year studies, very promising. You know God put a cure for cancer on this earth somewhere, some plant, some weed, somewhere. And that's what's intriguing. That's why I like to talk to young people, try to get them excited about agriculture because, man alive, if there's anything COVID proved, it proved how essential we are as an industry. And in plain simple, we need to figure out all the things we haven't figured out yet. That's the thing.
I agree. I mean, you know, those of us that are in that ag community, that ag world, like you was talking about, farmers in the other 15%, you know, we knew the importance of what the ag industry does for not only us as far as a living, but what it does for the world. But now, because of COVID, the rest of the world knows too.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that is the one thing I think that has been positive that has come out of that is the fact that there is some education that's happened through that pandemic.
And the shelves got empty. People got nervous.
Exactly.
That's right.
And I mean, like we've never seen. And we had a real opportunity in agriculture to make notice of it, and we didn't do very good. I mean, it's real simple when it comes down to that. We just do our thing. And people take us for granted, and we've got to do better. We do a great job of farming. We do one pitiful job of telling people about it, and that's where we've got to do better. You know, I just give you an example of one of the growth things while I was at the governor's office is local food. This local food thing. I mean, there's a difference between eating out of the garden and eating out of a can, and the public has figured it out. Plus, they want to know where their food comes from, which is where we're at. Well, this lady comes in from Letcher County. Just a whole group of people. And they had this kitchen that was in an old school that basically had been shut down. They wanted to open that kitchen back up as a certified kitchen to support the public. We had not had very good luck with certified kitchens. If you're big enough, you don't want to wait in line at the local certified kitchen. You build your own. If you're little, you do it over the sink. So you get this middle group that you don't have many of. Well, this lady's named Valerie Horn. And I mean, you know, we don't study the project. You study the people. And she's a doer. I had trouble getting the Ag Development Board to support this project because of how much agriculture are we affecting. That's how they measure everything and should. Mm-hmm. Well, we got this thing finally done. And this thing's called Cane. And what they do, they're now buying everything. The farmer's market has exploded. Because they're buying everything that's left over after the public comes through. And they're not just freezing and canning. They're basically making meals for the hungry at $5.50 a plate where they were buying frozen dinners out of Iowa for $9.50. I mean, you know, it doesn't sound like a great big project. It's not a great big, but it's really a project. When the floods came through Letcher County, guess where the headquarters was?
Right there.
That project. And so
you know, how important is that? How important that is that to our local people for those kind of projects to succeed?
You know, and Letcher County is one of those counties that struggled, you know, over the years, and there's not a lot of agriculture down there. But what has happened with this local food thing, there has become every little spot can be a garden. And that deal, I mean, I took some interns back up into Whitesburg back in there. And, I mean, I kept going and kept going, and the road got littler. And then all of a sudden he's going up a hill, and we pulled in this place. Wonderful family. Seth Long and his wife, and have a little special needs daughter, which I just love. And all of a sudden we look up, and all these tubes are coming out of the mountain. into this shack, and I'm thinking, what's going on here? Making maple syrup.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Making maple syrup and doing really well with it. A big garden of bluegrass right here on the hump, right in front of that building there, you know. I mean, there's no land. It's all straight up and down. So wherever a flat spot has to have a house on it or something. Yeah. So, I mean, so many things we've done that is just extra special. I mean, the really, you know, the one we all look at is the CAPE program. And gosh, you know, it's just been seed money for investment at the local level. Mm-hmm. And it's done really, really well. I mean, you just couldn't imagine me don't have the time to the bumper, catch the cow tire, the bumper, pick up anymore to give her a shot. We can get her up, you know, get her up and do things. That's neat. The one we added while I was there was the what I call Youth CAPE, which is basically the county has the decision to put some of their money and help these youngsters with their projects, 4-H, FFA, whatever. And, you know, I'm telling you, the biggest meeting we got in agriculture is people, and the place you start them is in 4-H and in FFA. That's where the seed money goes in. So, I mean, it's a great investment. Get them interested in agriculture, and then we got them. We got them, got the passion.
Yep. Yeah, I know, Warren, I know you were there part of the time that, you know, we had the COVID and everything was coming on, and we had this movement about we wanted, you know, people were wanting, like you said, they wanted to know where their food comes from. And we had people that are doing the beef now and pork and chicken and, you know, and all that kind of thing. How important was that involvement in that whole industry?
I mean, just in a matter of time, the supply chain broke down, and market went down, I don't know how many dollars for all species when it come down to it, but people were sick in the plants. So we just, in about 3 weeks, David, we put together a program, a meat processing program. The idea was we're going to figure out how to make, you know, what we got even better, move some customs up to USDA deal or add more customs. And so now, as a result of that program, we've invested $7 million. We've expanded processing by 25,000, and it ain't half enough. What happened was I was on three dairies one day, and two of them had started selling their cold cows as hamburger. And they said, we'll never sell no cold cow again. You know, old steam cows take a beating anyway a little bit, you know, and if we can get them processed. And so that's... It's the thing. We missed a prime opportunity down in Hopkinsville to get one that would have changed the whole infrastructure, the whole setup. We would have had grain farmers building pack barns and finishing cattle and doing, you know, value. Instead of sending all our cattle out west and getting them processed and sending back the meat, we could have done all that here. And you know, this agriculture is magnificent in terms of the multiplier. You're talking about turning money over four or five times rather than manufacturing two or three times. Mm-hmm. And so that's how you make agriculture healthy is do it. And I'm a stickler. And one aggravating thing for me is that we do a great job of farming. We get to the end of the trailer gate and somebody else decides what it's worth. Mm-hmm. We've got to get beyond the trailer gate with value. The closer you get it to their mouth. You know, I did a project years and years ago right up here with farmers up here when Winston was alive, and a hog at the time was worth $100 at farm level. Once we cut him up, processed him, he's worth $357, but most pork's got to be cured, smoked. Once we cured him, smoked, he's worth $611. Once we put him on the plate, shoulders into barbecue, hams, the whole deal, I never forget the number, $1,067 for a hog at $100 at farm. So you see how value increases as you get closer to the consumer. I told somebody one day, if you could eat it for me, it'd really be high, you know. But that's where we're headed. That's what we've got to do to add profitability.
And there's programs available for folks that want to do that to be able to help them get closer to that, like you're talking about.
And we actually, and I know that our Ag Econ group has worked a whole lot in the last couple of years. I'm sure you've had them on as guests about working with the farmer on how to do that to add the value to their, you know, past the farm gate.
How would you like to be able to set your own value?
Right.
We just don't do that in agriculture, mm-hmm. hardly ever. And that's the problem we get into is we own all those marketing things through K-Card and different groups. Mm-hmm. And K-Card may be the best money that they've ever spent in all the tobacco settlement money. They really come in. And I don't if your listeners are familiar with them, but they'll come in and do – you got a new project. They do a business plan for you for free. They're basically a nonprofit outfit that gets it done. I mean, they're neat.
Usually my first phone call if I have – someone that's very interested in doing
something. Ag development doesn't make decisions without them. That's right. Just kind of what it comes down to. You know, for years, what did Alita say?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Alita Botts is chairman of it. Now Brent Lackey's taking it over. So,
you know, that's a good point, and I'm glad Whitney brought that up. But, you know, if you're interested in doing something like that, be sure to go to your county extension office. They can get you the help, and it's no charge. I mean, that's what we're there for. And, you know, we can get you hooked up with those people that you are talking about to help you get to that point.
I think again, we take farmers for granted. We take extension for granted. We got the best extension program. I've been all over the country. I've judged livestock in 40-some states, and we got the best one. We got one that's really, really centered around local. And that's what makes it so good and deal. I mean, I depend on her. You know, I do.
No
I mean,
pressure.
I sent her a picture of a weed the other day. Yeah. I didn't have a clue what it was. I'd never seen it before.
Yeah.
And guess what? Didn't have a bit of good in it. Not one bit.
We tried.
It got sprayed this morning.
We tried every way around it, but just.
But
couldn't do
it. Extension is basically the leg that gives us all the research coming out of the University of Kentucky in different mm-hmm. places, and it makes it, puts it at farm level where we can use it and understand it, and that is so, so valuable. We don't take advantage as much as we should, but, boy, those of us who do are appreciative.
Well, we had a guest, actually, last week or a couple of weeks ago, Dr. Bob Coleman was our guest, and I'd encourage folks, if you haven't listened to that, because in the first 5 minutes, he explains Kentucky Extension system better than anybody I've ever heard explain it and the positive side of that. And one of the things on that podcast that he said that I won't forget is he said, you know, if contact your county extension office. He said they may not know the answer, and they don't need to know the answer to everything because they can't. But the key is they can get in touch with somebody that does know the answer. And that's the beauty of Kentucky Extension and how that works.
Mm-hmm. You know Misty Thomas, who is on our local radio, she used to call us the handbook for life.
Yeah,
that's right.
That's what she well did. Put. She said, contact the Extension office, because we would go on with her for all areas, not just ag. And she said, they're your handbook for life. And I thought, that's a really good.
We're so blessed when for us, we're a livestock state. We've got a million cows in the mm-hmm. state. Our beef extension people are just mm-hmm. Cadillacs. I'm telling you,
they are.
All the way from from Lim Cooler to Les Anderson to Dare Bullock to Higgins from the standpoint of environmental mm-hmm. stuff. I mean, we've just really been blessed with some guys that can get it where you can understand mm-hmm. it at the same time or on the cutting edge of what's happening out there in research. We don't appreciate extension enough. I'm a cheerleader, absolute cheerleader.
I'll take a raise anytime.
I'd give it to you if it's me.
Well, and the fact that there is an extension office in every county across the state, there's 120, you know, extension offices, and we want to help. We are there to help. That's why we are extension agents. That's why we went into this business, is because that's what we like to do. You'll hear us say sometimes extension-minded people. Mm-hmm. They're extension-minded people, and meaning that we want to help. That's our nature. That's what we want to do. And you know, the folks in the state of Kentucky have access to that. And
I've always, and I, maybe I shouldn't say this, but I told Dr. Stevenson the other day, I met with her on another issue, and I said, you want to look good? Turn them loose and let them work. You turn them loose and let them work, and then I just go so irritated that Capiluto and those guys don't understand that they've got a connection in every county and it's like they don't even know it's there. I mean, it really aggravates me, and so don't get me started down that road.
Well, on that subject, we may need to move on a little bit. Well, Warren, you've been involved in youth livestock for forever. And, you know, we really appreciate all that you have done. And, you know, you've started some of the youth expos that started and gained a lot of popularity when my kids were growing up.
When I was growing up.
And when Whitney was growing up, she was growing up the same time as my kids. So, you know, here is a product of that program sitting here. Here's a dad that was, you know, watching that program, the success of that program. Talk with us a little bit about what youth livestock teaches kids and how important it is for the future for agriculture, really.
Well, I mean, we need people. You talk about how to get them prepared to go into agriculture, to get them a junior livestock project. You know, that's mm-hmm. just, I'm on my third generation now watching them grow up. I was in Michigan the other day and a lady said, "Mr. Beeler, you judged me, you judged my daughter, now you're judging her daughter." And wow. I thought, wow, that's a long time.
Mm, that's awesome.
But I mean, it does. It's all about teaching them how to win and how to lose and how to act and do both, you know, and how to learn from losing. Gosh, if there's anything. And now in the day, I mean, 4-H came a few years ago and they said, oh, competition's a bad thing. There is no education without competition. I say line them up, place them, let the tears commence. Because you cannot teach handling disappointment mm-hmm. without handling losing. And the earlier you learn that, the better you handle it, the whole thing. Yeah. So it's wonderful. I teach you how to work, mm-hmm. how to work. I think for us, it's excitement. Judging Thor.
Go ahead.
Judging Houston. 4,286 hogs, biggest hog show in the world, 1996. I got down, the only 660, shifted them at Brenham then, only one judge, shifted in Brenham, only 660 got to go to Houston. Well, I got down to four kids, two got to go and two didn't. I picked this little girl, and she jumps about this high, comes over to hug me and karate chops me, right? And I throw just, you know how you taste blood, you know. I picked this next kid, and he's a great big old boy. About like John David size, yeah. And he come over and I hunkered down. He picked me up, bear hugged me. You know, I just remember how excited. Yeah. They didn't mm-hmm. win. They didn't win the whole thing. They just got to go to Houston. Mm-hmm. Right. You know, so I mean, that's deal. You know what I don't remember? The other two kids. The two kids didn't say a word. Didn't no pouting, no stomping. I don't remember them at all. And that's a shame because the other ones that day that got the lesson, they got that close, mm-hmm. and had to handle being disappointed. They had to handle being put on the truck after they got to be there all 2 days and sort. And I need to hug them. You know, that's one of those things. That's what this junior livestock thing does. It helps you. You know, like my kids showed when they went to college, their roommates were their showing buddies. You know, right. It's just a family. And it's all of us parents that we want the very best for our kids. And the best way to do that is get them in there and let them win, let them lose, and let them learn. Yeah. And, gosh, you know, I can tell you, when I was at the governor's office, I got to where the only ones I'd hire had to come out of that program. It could be horse, they could be dairy, they could be – but I'm telling you, didn't make a bad hire. Never disappointed mm-hmm. because they knew how to work. They knew how to get along with each other, you know. And so much of an office is – his attitude is you know, you know how it is with us. Doing old Ellie could have just took a whooping the next day, but when you load up the next morning, you got all kinds of hope again. Yep. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what it is. Yep. Negative, I think being positive and being negative are one of the lessons you learn. And negative can be just terribly, terribly nasty, contagious. Mm-hmm. Positive can be really, really wonderful. Mm-hmm. If you think you can, you can. If you don't think you can't, you won't. And that's one of those things. And so you can get, you know, whipping. I remember one day, Cammy Jackson had this little old muscle lamb that I kind of liked. But at the time, we were picking them big and tall and pretty. And I mean, she took a beating in Ojai County that one morning. Only red ribbon in the barn. Mm-hmm. That night we go to Trigg County and she was grand champion. So that's what makes it mm-hmm. neat. You know, judging is not what you see. It's how you value what you see. Mm-hmm. And that makes every one of them just a little bit different that way. Yep. And that's the neat part of it. I could tell you story after story about – I was in Jackson, Mississippi, judging showmanship for these. You know, we start off – And they little Down syndrome girl came in this class, you know, and I, you know, I have a special needs daughter, and I'm one of those guys, I'm old school, I can love you to death and beat you like a dog. I just can't help it.
Good, I'm aware.
Good,
I'm
aware. I am too.
I love these kids, just beat them like a dog, you know.
I've been beat by him
several
times.
The problem is they ain't over it yet, you know.
No, that's right.
The kids are. These do not.
I am, I'm
afraid. And so this little Down syndrome girl was winning. And I kept waiting and waiting, thinking, there's no way that can be. I mean, she's right on the hip just doing what. Mm-hmm. And I kept thinking, these other kids are going to come, going to beat her. Didn't. I picked her. And when I picked her, the crowd jumps and screams like you can imagine. Mm-hmm. And then I looked, and her dad come running across the deal just crying like a baby. I mean, it still bothers me to this day. Mm-hmm. And I thought at the time, Whitney, I thought, how hard did that little girl and that daddy have to work to stay on task long enough to win showmanship when I gave it more time than normal because I kept thinking she wouldn't.
Yeah.
And so lesson is, success is earned. It's mm-hmm. what you do when you don't have to do anything that makes it special. And that's mm-hmm. one of those things we teach those kids, the junior livestock thing. I mean, gosh, it makes good. I'm seeing parents. I judged Indiana showmanship last year. All of the three judges, I judged them. Yeah. You know, I felt like somebody's trying to tell me something, and probably were. But I just can't believe the number of families that I got to hug just walking to the ring and mm-hmm. back that I had judged and now was judging their kids. Yep. And, you know, that's the best.
But I'll say this too.
Best reward.
The interesting thing about it is I don't think that people realize how lucky we have having him in this area.
100%.
You talk to those judges that judge the state fairs and the North Americans, and every time they see that they're in Kentucky and they see you, they make sure and say, he's the reason why I'm doing what I'm doing, or I remember when I judged under him, or, you know, so it's a, people I think in this county and community don't realize what a gem we have in Warren.
I think that's 100% correct. And I think also in the state of Kentucky, it's the mm-hmm. same way. And I've heard Warren say it many times, and people say, well, what does the, you know, what about the youth livestock program? And I said, I'm going to quote Warren and say, we're trying to take pretty good animals and make great kids.
Right.
If we get past that, we're in the wrong direction.
Right.
Yeah. When you let the animal get bigger than the kid in the project, you're doing it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And it worries me that all the money that's
say that again.
All the money that's coming to the thing, you know, it's just, you know. So I mean, I'm on a project right now on this the Expo Center up in Louisville has a foundation, and I'm part of that foundation, what I want to do, we want to gather up enough. Ag Development
Give
Board,
out a blue plug. Yeah.
Ag Development Board gave us $1 million. We have to match it within 10 years. We're hoping to match it way quicker than that possible. But the idea is putting the kid bigger than the animal in the project. We love it when they win champion steer, but the idea is kid to win showmanship. I mean, that's the one that really is the earned talent.
Mm-hmm.
The skill-a-thon, you take our kids. We've done so many good things in terms of the educational side of the project. Skill-a-thon, you know, a skill-a-thon contest basically started here. You know, we did it mm-hmm. before anybody.
Mm-hmm.
We had all that livestock discovery material before anybody. Well, they put me in a hole over there, and I started on it. You know, this is 22 years ago.
Yeah.
And it still works.
Remember the old CDs.
And then, you know, what we've gotten away from is that we're doing less clinics and more contests.
Mm-hmm.
And I think clinics is what we need. So Terry Burks and I, May 30th, we've decided this morning, May 30th, Terry and I are going to put on a clinic at Western, and we're going to invite the 4-H and FFA kids in, and we're going to, it's nothing but a clinic. Just come learn and
is this a judging clinic or a showing clinic?
Judging clinic. Yeah.
I'm a product of him as well. So yeah, Terry was my junior livestock coach.
He's the best judge in the country.
He is.
I mean,
he's
the
phenomenal.
Best judge in the country. He can do any species.
Mm-hmm.
And we're teaching class at Western there, and we're having the best time. I mean,
I can't imagine.
Can I go back and take that class?
I tell you, it's so neat. But we have not had many kids in that program that come through junior life. We had one last year in our final. This is what you love, the final, Perkman, I'm telling you. Final is we give them EPDs, we give them a scenario, we give them a bull's picture. right? Mm-hmm. And they got to come in the room and sell it to me and Burks. Yeah. Well, you know, old J.W. Cox there, he's going to be a veterinary. He got in vet school this other day at Auburn. And he comes in and kind of gives us a dummy sheet. Here's a dummy sheet for EPDs. You know, I mean, right. It was so neat to be able to match the scenario with the EPDs, with the bull, and then have the social skills to come in. You know, the most profitable talent anybody can have is ability to sell. And that's not selling cars or tractors. That's selling concepts and ideas, mm-hmm. or a bull, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was a culmination of what we'd taught them that they had to put together and come in and peddle it to us. So it was neat. It was fun. And because we knew if they wanted $3,000 for their bull, we just had a poor family that had five kids. And we only had $2,000, you know. So we had to negotiate a little bit. And
How important are those skills?
I mean, they all got their head in the phone. How do we get their head in the phone? I would never, ever teach a class that didn't make them get up and talk. I just mm-hmm. don't believe that there's any way. What, you know, I owe 4-H and FFA so very much. I mean, I owe them a ton. But the idea is, and that's, again, that goes back to junior livestock, social skills, you know, being able to buddy up, you know, and do things like you're supposed to.
Well, that's great. And that leads us into our timely tip, which is a good time. And we want Warren to comment on this. But our timely tip for this week is support youth livestock programs as they teach responsibility, good work ethic, how to be a humble winner, and as well as a gracious loser.
Well, and there's no question about it. You're talking right up my alley. You know, I have seen everything, and I will tell you, it's amazing. I think one of the intriguing things is willingness to learn. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you get out here. I was judging Billings, Montana. I don't know if you got time.
Yeah, we got
time.
And
it's showmanship. It was showmanship. They start with the oldest kids. I hate that. Mm-hmm. You know, every judge is different. So I asked, can I have those kids down here just for 2 minutes? I want to tell them what I'm looking for, you know. I said, hour and a half later, we started the show. I said, those kids were starved to learn. Mm-hmm. Their parents come out. They ask questions. Nobody cared. They ask question on top of question on top of question. I mean, if anything this junior livestock thing can teach is that you never quit learning. Yeah. Whether you're 9 or 90, you know, when you miss a day, you don't get it back. You don't get it back. Mm-hmm. And that's, to me, that's huge. Because the problem is teachers are the most important people in the world. Parents, one, 4-H agents, two, kindergarten, you know, right there. Because mm-hmm. we all do. ABC, 1, 2, 3, we start over. So as maximum we learn, the farther we can get down the road yep. in terms of figuring this thing out.
And it'll also pass you by. If yes. you don't stay oh, in, yeah. you know, and back in the day now, I thought I was a pretty good feeder, you know, when we were feeding hogs.
Well, you were back in the day.
Back in the day, but today yeah. is gone. But I will have to say, Beeler came in one time at the state fair, and, you know, you work so hard to try to get hogs into different classes. You know, you work at that for weeks and weeks before the state fair. So Beeler, he rolls in there at the last minute, and we're about to shut the scales down, and he throws the gate open. About 10 hogs roll off that trailer, and all his kids are driving them up there. And I be darned if he didn't get every hog in a different class. And we were up there looking at the classes when they were split, and he goes, "That's how you do it, Ferquin. That's how you do it right there."
It takes a really keen eye to do that at the yeah. when they're running on a feeder.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know,
full feed. I'm sure.
Oh yeah, guarantee it. But anyway, but Warren, we thank you so much for being here. We appreciate that and all that you do for Kentucky agriculture, all you do for our kids. We appreciate that.
I mean, I love Kentucky agriculture. I appreciate you all. And the extension just absolutely has got the key to the whole thing, I think, in terms of how we make progress in the state. If folks will use their extension, they'll do much better. They'll do much better. And I'm proud of you, proud for you.
Right. I will say I can't. We're gonna have to add this into this show because sure. I guess if you want to say I'm the outlier of the bunch at the table bit. Right now, because I did not show livestock. I didn't come up through that program. I am a 4-H'er. I was more into the public speaking arena, so I did come up through 4-H and FFA and the importance of that. But in the last 22 years, I've been the extension agent in Webster County. And I have seen tremendous 4-H'ers come through our building and through that livestock program. And we've got some great kids there that have come up through that program, learned so much. And, you know, you see them, they're grown now. And you see how they're being successful in their careers, and they'll come back always and attribute to the skills that they learned through 4-H and FFA. Yeah. And I think that is tremendous. And I want to personally thank you for the time that you have committed to the youth of this state. And not only this state, what did you say, 47 states that you've been in? Yeah. So
43, but it feels like 47.
But, you may get them all before it's over.
But the reach that you have had, the impact that you have had on the youth of this country, we'll just put it that way, on the youth of this country, and I thank you for that. I have not personally worked with you through that, but I did know who Warren Beeler was and is. Yeah. And so even though I didn't come up through that, and like Whitney said, you know, we don't really realize and appreciate the knowledge that you have and what you have done, not only for the youth, but for Kentucky agriculture. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, and you're just one of those people that you have that love for agriculture. You have that. But then you put that to wanting to help others succeed. And when you put the two of those together, the reach that you've had is tremendous. And I want to, you know, personally thank you, and along with these two agents sitting beside me, they know you much better than I do, but I know I'm speaking for them as well.
Mr. Vicky, it's the best pay in the world. Just give me an example. I mean, I was putting together jump drives. I've got two students in my class. One wants to go into extension. Mm-hmm. One wants to be an ag teacher. So I put a jump drive together by everything I could find. And guess what? I found a Webster County deal when you all won Skeletathon a few years ago.
I
put deals together, even wool judging, to try to help them.
Yes.
And that's the best pay I get, is for kids to go out and do well.
Yes. Yeah. Well, thank you.
Well, I don't think I can top that, so I'm just going to end that right here. We hope you've enjoyed our show, and we'll make plans to join us again next week for our next episode. And until then, remember, Kentucky Ag matters.